Most High, we are here on Daf Zayin Omer Aleph, and we're up to Mesve, which was be about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. The first word in the line is De'ika Shirayim. And if this helps anyone as a simon, it's a little bit above, about three lines, four lines above, Dam. Tosus Divya Maskel Dam. Now, to understand Mesve, the Gemara is now objecting to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. And we discussed various implications. For example, if let's say you have different Kohanim on the Mishmar, and some are Tomei, some are Tohar, then it makes no difference, according to Rav Nachman. You might as well go ahead and use the Kohanim Tmeim. Again, exactly in what scenario, we had long discussions, but fundamentally that's called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. So Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, says you have to do somersaults in the air and do whatever you possibly can to try to get the carbon to be brought B'tara, because Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove Rav Sheshes and object to Rav Nachman. And here's the Braisa that's going to be problematic for Rav Nachman, who holds Hutra. Dam Shenitma. So we have a karban, and after the Shechita, the Kohen received the dam in a receptacle, which is called a Mizrak, and the dam now contracted Tuma. In such a case, the Torah prohibits using that dam on the Mizbeach. The Zrika is prohibited. Whether that's a Doraisa or Drabonon, that's an issue. But in any event, it's Osir. Uzrako. And despite this, the Kohen went ahead and he sprinkled this dam tome on the Mizbeach, which is a no-no. He shouldn't have done so. And the Braisa now differentiates between the following two scenarios. In the first case, the Kohen was not deliberate about it. He wasn't intentional. He was a shogeg, which means one of two things. Either he didn't realize that the dam was tamei, or he was unaware of the fact that he's not allowed to be zorik the dam. Excuse me. So the Braisa says the following. Zrako b'shogeg, if he was unaware of the Isur, and he went and he did the Zrika, and maybe he thought that a carbon could not be Mekabel Tuma, then the law is Hurtza. Hurtza means that the carbon is kosher, and whoever needs that carbon, it's what's called Ola Lola Ratzon. There's a Ritzui carbon, which is the purpose of every carbon. Every carbon is meant to achieve ritzui. And in this case, the carbon is meratza, it's kosher, because he was zorik the dam b'shogeg. Now, we'll soon see that the efficacy of this dam is a result of a principle which is called ritzui tzitz. I mean, now I'll leave that out. We're going to dedicate a large chunk of our discussion to that concept called tzitz meratz. Then the Braisa goes on and says, b'mezid lo hurtza. If the Kohen deliberately violated the Isur of being zorik the dam bituma, then the Chachamim made a knas, they made a penalty here, and they said, we're going to suspend that tzitz meratza, and the carbon is not meratza. No one's allowed to eat the basa of the carbon. Now, the difference between shogeg and mezid in this context is only derabbanan. As far as the Torah is concerned, even if he did it b'mezid, we have a principle of tzitz meratza, and the carbon is kosher. So the Bala carbon fulfilled his obligation. He doesn't have to bring a second carbon to replace the first. But the Rabbanon made a knas. Now, how far is the authority of the Rabbanon? Well, it's limited. Why? Because since the Torah recognizes that the Bailim, the one who brought the Karban, fulfilled his chiyuv, his yotzei his chiyuv, the Rabbanon could not say, possibly against the Torah law, that no, he did not fulfill his obligation, he's got to bring a second Karban. And the reason for that limitation is because of an Isser which is called Chulin Bazara. Since the Torah recognized and validates the first Karban, even though the Kohen was deliberate in his violation of the Isser of Zrikas Adam al Mizbeach Bitumah, nevertheless, the Torah recognizes the Karban as a valid Karban, and the Torah is saying that the Baal HaKarban fulfilled his obligation. If the Baal HaKarban would now bring a second Karban to replace the first, that would be Chulin Bazara. That would like be bringing a non-sacred Karban into the Azara. And that's a violation of an Isur Kari. So the Rabbanan can't say, well, he's going to have to bring another Karban. All they could say is, and that's as far as their authority goes, is that we're not allowed to eat the Basar of the Karban. And that's Rashi here, Dibra Maskel B'mezit. Now, what does this Braisa have to do with the Machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? The Gemara thinks now that this Braisa should apply to every single Karban that was brought Bituma. And that would include even what's called a Karban Tzibur. And if you recall, Rav Nachman was of the opinion that a Karban Tzibur lends itself and is included in the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Now, from the fact that the Braisa says that if the Zrikas Hadam was bemazed, the Basar HaKarban is possible, and we're not allowed to eat the Basar, we must be assuming that Tumah Lo Hutra B'Tzibur. Meaning that if Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then there's no way that in the case of Nizrak Adam B'Mezid, the Karban becomes Pasul. Pasul meaning that the Basar is Asur B'Achila. The only way of making sense out of this Braisa is if we assume Tumah Lo Hutra B'Tzibur, which is a proof to the Shita of Rav Sheshes against Rav Nach. And the Gemara is going to answer, Ki Tanya Hi Di Yochid, that the Braisa is not talking about a Karban Tzibur, but rather a Karban Yochid, that's an individual obligation, which has the same status as a Karban She'eno Kavua Lo Zman. There's no time, urgency, or element that generates the Chiyuv of Karban. So a person took upon himself to bring a Karban. He obligated, pledged himself to bring a Karban. That's a Karban Yochid. It doesn't have a specific time period. It's not critical. And therefore, even Rav Nachman, everybody would agree that in that case, Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. It's not Hutra. But in the case of a Karban Tzibur, which is Kavua Lo Zman, Enochinami, there we would apply the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. And even if the Kohen was mazed and he was deliberate and intentional about being Zorik the Dam B'Tumah, the Karban would still be kosher and you could eat the bus. Now that's an understanding of this sugya on what I call a superficial level. If we want to dig a little bit below the surface, and again, we're not experts in kodshim, don't get me wrong, but we would probably want to give at least a highlight of Tosus Divrei HaMaskil Dam, which you'll see here as the third Tosus on the Dam. Tosus asks a number of questions. First of all, he says, how can you prove from the fact that if he was mazed, the Karban is possible, that therefore Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur? Even if, let's say, in B'mezid, the Karban was not possible, however, as far as, and again, when we say the Karban is possible, we mean as far as not being allowed to eat the basar, even if I hold tuma hucha b'tzibur, I would still assume that you're not allowed to eat kudshim shenitmu. If the kudshim became tameh, then we don't eat that. There's an isa, probably doraisa, to eat kudshim shenitmu. So therefore, as a result of this zrikas hadam, even if I would hold hutra tuma hutra betzibur, I would certainly not be allowed to eat the basar. And again, what we're saying about the mazid situation in this brisa is that not that the carbon is possible, but only is possible in yin achila bituma. Well, even if I hold tuma hutra betzibur, I would still apply the principle that you're not allowed to eat kudshim bituma. That's a separate isur. Nobody questions that isur. So what do you prove from the fact that b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat the basa? For sure you're not allowed to eat the basa. It's kudshim shenitmu. Kudshim tmeim, you're not allowed to eat. Furthermore, asks Tosfos, the machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes about whether tumah is hutra b'tzibur or tumah is dechuya b'tzibur is only relevant to whether or not you have to bring a second karban, b'tahara, to replace the first karban. Now, if the karban was brought b'tumah, even if I hold tumah dechuya b'tzibur, I would still be modeh. He would still concede, Rav Sheshes, that the carbon is kosher. And if that be the case, this brisa is difficult, even if I hold tumah dechuya b'tzibur. Because the machlokes about dechuya b'tzibur or not revolves around whether you have to bring a second carbon b'tara. But once it was already brought b'tumah, even if I hold tumah dechuya b'tzibur, the carbon should be kosher. So Tosfos comes up with the following answer. He says the following, that the fact that you're not allowed to eat the basar, even if I hold that tumas hutra, the same is true that you're not allowed to eat the basar, but that's only if nitma basar. Our case in the Braisa, if we're very careful about it, is not Nitma HaBosar, but rather it's a case of Nitma HaDam. The Bosar never became Tomeh. He collected the Dam in a Mizrak, in a receptacle, and it contracted Tumah. The Bosar, the carbon itself, is still Tar. Now, if I hold Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, then I should be allowed to eat this basa because it did not contract tumah. And that means that just like if you hold tumah hutra b'tzibur, we could be lenient about it, and we don't have to look about, run through the entire, the streets of the entire globe to try to find how we can bring this carbon b'tara. We could be mekel here also. We could be matir the achilas basar of the carbon, even though the zrikas hadam was betumah, because the basar itself did not contract tumah. But if on the other hand I hold tumah dechuya b'tzibur, and there's a chumra in that we always try to run around lachzar achar tara to try to get a betara, then we can justify why we're machmir in this case where the zrikas hadam was betumah, and we can generate an iser of achilas habasar by virtue of the fact that nizrak adam betumah. So from the, what's the raya, what's the proof of the Gemara here to support Rav Sheshes? From the fact that the Braisa is speaking about a case where only the dam contracted to him, but not the basar, that itself indicates that you're allowed to eat the basar. And the only way that we would suggest don't eat the basar is if you hold tuma dechuya b'tzibur. And then we should be machmir and say, you know what, we're going to enjoin you from eating this basar. So that's the sheet of Tosfos here, Divrei Maskil Dam. The Ritva says that the proof of the Gemara is not from the fact that b'mezid, the Braisa says, lo hurtza, but rather from the fact that bishogeg hurtza, and the language of hurtza teaches us, indicates that the carbon is kosher only because of what we call, if you remember we mentioned before, ritzitzitz. Now, if I would hold like Rav Nachman at Tuma Hutra Bitzibur, I don't need ritzitzitz. The carbon will be kosher even without ritzitzitz. And the reason for that is Tuma Hutra Bitzibur. If Tuma Hutra Bitzibur, then a carbon tzibur at least is hutra, is mutter. I mean, you know, why do you say that in Shogeg we're only going to be mati the basar because of ritzitzitz? I don't need ritzitzitz. I can simply apply the principle of tumah hutra bitzibur. In any event, the Gemara, just to summarize, rejects this proof, and it reinterprets the braisa as referring to a karbon yachid. In Ochinami, if it was a carbon tzibur that has a zman kavur with a time urgency, then the braisa would agree that the carbon is kosher, even in the case of mezid, because tumah hutra bitzibur. Toshma, now the Gemara has a second proof to support Rav Sheshes that tumah dechuya bitzibur. And in order to appreciate this braisa, we should read a pasuk in Shmos Perek Chav Ches. The pasuk says, "V'haya al meitzach Aaron." And now we're getting into the whole sugya of tzitz. The Torah says that when the tzitz is being worn by Aaron, meaning by the Kohen, on his forehead, then v'nasa Aaron es avon hakodshim. That is ritzui on avon kodshim. Now, the pasuk is very vague and ambiguous. It does not give us a clue as to what this avon kodshim is all about. And that's the subject of this braisa. Al ma hatzitz meratzah. The Torah doesn't specify exactly what the power of the tzitz is. It's definitely v'nosa es avon hakodshim. It somehow is mechaper, and it's machshir the korban. It should be ol ratzon, despite some sort of an avera, some sort of a sin that was implemented. But what exactly went wrong over here that we needed the tzitz to be mechaper and machshir the korban and generate a ritzon? By the way, I have a note here based on the Gemara and Shabbos that the tzitz is kemin tas shel zahav. Tas means a flat metal plate. In this case, it's made of gold. It has the width of shtei etzbos, and it's worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. It completely covers his forehead from ear to ear. And there are two words that are written, inscribed on this tashel zav of the tzitz, and that is Lashem Kodesh, or Kodesh Lashem. So the Braisa suggests the following possibility to be rejected. Al hadom v'al habosar v'achelev shenitma. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. Okay, so I said to you to be rejected. That's the next braisa that I jumped the gun a little. This braisa establishes that if the karbon was tamei, either the dam was the karbon, was tamei, the basar was the karbon, became tamei, or the chelev, which is called the emurim of the carbon that is brought on the mizbeach, if any of those three categories became tameh. Now keep in mind, the word chelev here is a general term, and it includes all the parts of the carbon that are brought on the mizbeach. Basar is a reference to that part of the carbon that's not burnt on the mizbeach, therefore it's not chelev, but rather it's eaten either by the Kohanim or by the Bailin. Now, nitma dam, we said that if the dam contracted tumma, then ritzitzitz is a necessary component, a mechanism by which we can be machshir the karbon in a case where the dam was nizrak betumma. In the case of nitma basar, so Rashi says that here the ritzitzitz is a very limited kind of power, and that is, it's not powerful enough to be matir the achilas basar betumma, which we said was a separate lav, and ritzitzitz cannot be docha the lav of isra achilas basar betumma, but rather the tzitz meratz al basar means that there's ritzitzitz only as far as lahachshir is rikas hadam. Okay, now we said that the tzitz is meratza in a very all-encompassing scope that includes whether or not the avoda was done betuma inadvertently or deliberately. And again, this bein b'mezid sounds like a contradiction to the previous brisa. Because in the previous brisa we said that if the zrikas adam was b'mezid, then the basar is also, the carbon itself is posel, achila. Here it seems like the tzitz is meratza, and that applies bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. So this is actually a sugya not here in Masechta Yoma, but rather Masechta Menachos on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, and there there's Machlokes Amoraim, how to reconcile these two brisos. And that's a Machlokes between Ravina and Rav Shilo. Ravina says that when it says in this brisa Mezid and Shogeg, it's talking about the tumah of the karbon. And when the brisa says, Beinim nitma karbon b'shogeg, Beinim nitma b'mezid, if the zrikas hadam was b'shogeg, then the tzitz is meratze. Now, I'm not exactly sure what is the point to tzitz meratze. The only thing I could say is that the tzitz meratze here in this case means that the karbon is ole l'ritzui bailin. In any event, the original brisa that we studied at the beginning of our sugya tonight, that the tzitz is meratze only in the case of shogeg, that's a case of zrikas hadam, not tumas hakarbon. But if the Zrikas Adam was done b'shogeg hurtza, and if Zrikas Adam was b'mezid lo hurtza, that's according to Ravina. Rav Shilo, on the other hand, says that we should not differentiate between Zrikas Adam, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. The Brisa that says that bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid hurtza, that's this second Brisa, is addressing the case of Zrikas Adam. And whether the Zrikas Hadam was b'mezid or b'shogeg hurtza, the first brisa, the earlier brisa, differentiated between shogeg and mezid, that's a case of tumas dam, that if nitma dam b'shogeg hurtza, v'im nitma dam b'mezid lo hurtza. In any event, that's the summary, the highlights of the sugya menachah. Now the brisa continues and says that tzitz is meratza bein biyachid ubein betzibur, which means that the tzitz is meratza even for karbonos she'ein kavu lehem zman, they don't have a definite time element. But although the brisa seems to lump together yachid and tzibur in one breath, Rashi explains that there is a difference between a carbon that's kavu lehem zman and a carbon that's ein kavu lehemzman. The tzitz is meratza on tumas hakorban, but it's not meratza on what we call tumas haguf shel hakoyin makriv es hakorban. So if the basar of the korban was not tomei, but the kohen himself hamakriv es hakorban was tomei, so then the tzitz is not meratza. The tzitz is not meratza on tumas gufo shel kohen. Now, herein lies the difference between karbonos shekavul emzman as opposed to ein kavul emzman. If the carbon is ein kavul emzman, then if the kohen is not tahor, we cannot be makriv the carbon. We simply have to delay the carbon until we find the kohen tahor. However, in the case of karbonos shekavul emzman, even if we can't find a kohen that's tar, all the kohenim who are accessible right now are tmeim, we could be makriv the karbon. And finally, we have the Gemara's kasha. Isal kedaitav tuma heter hibit zibur, which is Rav Nachman's position that tuma hutra bit zibur, lama li liritsuye. Why do I have to bother? Why does the Bryce have to bother with Ritzui Tzitz, that the Ritzui of the carbon Tzibur, which became Tomei, is a result of the Tzitz? Forget about the Tzitz. The Torah was Matir completely to be Makriv Vituma. From the fact that we need Ritzui Tzitz, that must prove that Tuma Dechuya Hibit Tzibur. So the Iser being makriv bituma applies even b'tzibur, if tuma dechuya b'tzibur. But the Torah says that we can override this problem, this Iser, that osel hakriv bituma, based on the principle of tzitz meratza. But even though it's tzitz meratza, there is an Iser to be makriv the karbon bituma. And therefore we need to come on to the mechanism of Ritzui Tzitz. Whereas if you hold Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, then the Torah is Matri completely. It could be Makriv B'tuma. It's a Karbon Tzibur. And once again, we're going to have the same defense mechanism that we had before. Amar L'cha Rav Nachman, Atzitz Meratza, when the Braisa says, Ki K'toni, Hatzitz meratz, it's ad yochid. It's only referring to a carbon yochid. And even though it says bein biyochid u bein b'tzibur, what that means is that li'olam the carbon is kosher, whether it's biyochid or b'tzibur, but not for the same reason. In the case of the tzibur, the carbon tzibur is kosher because tumah hutra b'tzibur. In the case of the yochid, the carbon is kosher because tzitz meratz. Eboy, same the Gemara offers an alternative deflection of this proof against Rav Nachman. Afilu Temifar, I would tell you that when the Braisa says Tzitz Meratza, it's referring not only to a carbon yochid, but even to a carbon tzibur. That's not because of Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur that we now need to come on to Ritzui Tzitz, but rather Bahanach Delo Kviya Luzman, the Braisa that requires Ritzui Tzitz is referring to a carbon tzibur, but lo kavu lehem zman. And such a carbon would require Ritzui Tzitz because we would not apply the principle of tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, how can you get a carbon tzibur that's not kavu zman? So that's what we discussed last time, which is called parahelim dovah shel tzibur. If, let's say, the Tzibur worshipped an Avodah Zarah because they got a mistaken Orah from the Bezdin. So they have to bring a certain carbon. That carbon has no kvius of Zman. I mean, it all depends when the Jews would have violated the Isur of Avodah Zarah. And in such a case, we would have to apply the principle of Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur because it's Ein Kavul HaZman. And the only reason why this carbon has a Ritzui to it, even though it's Tomei, would be because of Ritzui Tzitz. Meisvei, now we have a kasha against Rav Sheshes. from a brisa regarding tzitz. And the pasuk says, I'll read to you the beginning of the pasuk. The Gemara only quotes the end of the pasuk. It says in Shmos Chaf Ches, Vaya al metach Aaron, v'nasa Aaron es avona kodshim. Which means that the tzitz is mechaper on avon kodshim. It's going to be machsha the carbon that was subject to some sort of an avon, meaning that there was some sort of procedure in the akravas hakarbon that was a violation of the Torah law. And the tzitz now comes, as we said, v'nosa aron es avon hakodshim, and it removes the avon from the carbon. And the Raisa wants to know, v'chi eiz avon. What happened with this carbon that there was some sort of a violation? And therefore, the tzitz is nosei, it's mechaper, and it's maratze on this carbon to make it into a carbon kosh. So the Gemara goes through three possibilities. The first possibility is im avon pigul. Now, pigul means that the Kohen did one of the four avodos of Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Azrika with a machshava to be zorik its dam, or to be machtir the carbon, or to eat from the carbon, chutz limkomo haroi. Meaning that the Torah said that there's a certain specific place where the zrika, or the haktara, has to take place. And he had a machshav of what's called chutz limkomo. Now, I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't mention chutz lezmano. But first, let's talk a little bit about chutz limkomo. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Zayin, v'yim he'ochel ye'ochel b'psar zevach shlomo b'yom ha'shlishi lo ye'rotze. And this is a case, ha'makaro so lo ye'choshev lo pigul ye'. This is a violation of pigul. Nefesh ochel suberu avono tisa. Now, the Torah talks about yom hashlishi. This doesn't sound like chutz limkomo. But the Gemara in Zvachim says that this pasuk cannot be taken literally as referring to achilas pasuk kom b'yom hashlishi. There is no such thing as a carbon that's eaten b'yom hashlishi. And therefore the Gemara reinterprets this pasuk, this is what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, that it's not talking about eating the basa or the carbon on Yom HaShlishi, but rather it's talking about a machshava that when the Kohen did the avoda, again one of the four main critical avodos, he had a machshava that he would eat the basa on Yom HaShlishi. And that's achar zmano. In other words, the time allotment of the carbon, even in the case of Shlomo, which has the longest, most extensive time allotment for Achila, is 2 days. He wants to eat it on the third day. That's a Machsheves Pigul. And the Gemara establishes in Zvachim that with regard to the four Avodos that are absolutely critical in the Karbon, if he had a Machsheves Pigul during any of those Avodos, then the Karbon becomes possible. So that's number one. That's called the Machsheves Pigul of Chutz Lizmano. Now the Gemara offers in Zvachim another drasha, and that's called Shelo Rak Machshav Lechol Kom Liachas Zmano Nifsal Kom Af Machshav Shezorek Es Domo Ulahak Tibeno Azevach Liachar Zmano B'Machsheves Chutz Limkomo. And the Gemara equates Machsheves Chutz Limkomo with Machsheves Chutz Zmano. So let's say he's implementing one of the four critical avodas of the Karbon, and he decides that he at that point is intending to eat the Karbon, or to be makir of the Karbon, in a place where you're not allowed to eat the Karbon, you're not allowed to be makir of the Karbon. And that's called Machsheves Chutz L'Mkomo. And the carbon becomes posel. And that's called Pigul. Now, the case of Pigul, the Gemara is going to establish, there's no Ritzui carbon on a Machsheves Pigul. Why? Sharei Kvar Nemar, the Torah says, in Vayikra Perek Yutes, it says, Lo Ye Rotzah, that the carbon is not Olo L'Rotzah. In other words, the Bailim did not achieve Kapara. So it seems that even Tzitz is not meaningful, is not effective to be Meratzah the carbon, because the Torah says, Lo Ye Rotzah, which is a flat statement. Now, the word pigul here in this Gemara is a little bit different than the classic use of the word pigul elsewhere in Shas. Elsewhere, when the Gemara uses the word pigul, it has in mind a person who is mechashev to be makdir the carbon or to eat the carbon liachas mano haroi. Here, the machsheves pigul that's being mentioned is a machshava lahakdir karbono. The Brisa considers that a machsheves chutz l'mkomo pigul, based on the drushes that we said before, that pigul yia is a machsheves chutz l'mkomo. Again, what I still don't understand is why the Brisa speaks about pigul of chutz l'mkomo as opposed to pigul chutz l'zmano. But in any event, whatever the category of pigul, or whatever caused the pigul and brought it about, the Torah says, Lo Ye Rotza. The carbon is completely ineffective. And that implies that Ritzui Tzitz would not be helpful. So now the Gemara goes on to another possibility. V'im Avon Nosar. The Nosar means that the Bosar was meant to be eaten within a certain time allotment, and instead of doing so, he left the basar beyond its time allotment, and that basar becomes nosar. Now, let's say the Kohen performed one of the four avodos that are ma'akvos, the critical four avodos of Shechita, Kabbalah, Lochen, and Zrika, and he thought that he would be zorik the dam, or he'd be makta the dam, or eat from the carbon. Li achar zman haroi. So now we have the case of pigul in a machsheves chutz zmano. I don't know why the Brisa calls it nosar. It's a little bit misleading. In any event, if we're going to assume that this is the scenario in which the ritzui of the tzitz is effective to be machsheh to the carbon, that's impossible. Sharei kvar nemar lo yechosheh. With regard to this iser of chutz zmano, the Torah says explicitly a makor also lo yechosheh lo. So basically, we have two psukim as far as pigul are concerned. We have one pasuk in Parshas Tzav, that's in Vayikra Perek Zion, and there it says, "Im he ochel ye ochel mipsar zevach shalom biyom hashlishi lo ye rotze." And hamachshiv hamakriv also lo yichashiv lo pigul yiyev hanefesh ochel smeno avono tisa. So that's the case of machsheves chutz zmano, and the Torah says lo yichashiv in Parshas Kedoshim, which is about almost 15 chapters fast forward in Vayikra. It says over there, and in Rons Vachim Chavches says that that's not a pasuk that's teaching me Machsheves Chutz Zmano. We already have that pasuk in Vayikra Zion. So therefore, this pasuk is coming to include an Iser Machsheves Chutz Limkoma. And the Pasuk says, Lo Ye Rotze. So basically, Pigul, the Torah says explicitly whether it's Machsheves Chutz Limkoma, Chutz Zmano, Lo Ye Rotze. That's an absolute rule. And Lo Ye Choshev means with the Machsheves Chutz Zmano, the carbon is completely worthless. And that implies that even Ritzui Tzitz is not effective to be machshir the carbon and to generate a kapar's carbon. And now we turn to Daf Zayin Amud Beis. And now we have the third possibility as to when we would apply Vinosa Savono, which means the Vinosa Aaron is Avona Kodshim, which means that the Tzitz is Meratza for Avon Kodshim. We've excluded the case of the psulim of Machsheves Chutzim Zman Chutzim Komoha. We have no choice. Our only last option is that the Tzitz Eino Nose Ela Avon Tuma. In other words, that the Avon over here, that the Pasuk says the Tzitz is Nose Es Avon, is referring to Tuma. And the Brisa gives now an explanation as to why the Torah, why the Tzitz has the power to be Maratza, in this case of Avon. And the answer is Shahutra Michlala Bitzibur. Which means that in a Karban Tzibur, even without Ritzit Tzitz, the Torah says that you can bring the carbon, and the carbon is kosher, and there's a ritzit carbon, even without ritzit tzitz. And that's called hutra michlala. In other words, as far as the Isur Tum is concerned, in the case of Mizbeach, we already have an exception to the rule, and that's going to be the case of a carbon tzibur. Now, if the Torah was already mekil, number one, that it allowed the carbon tzibur to be brought Bituma even without Ritzit Tzitz, then now the Torah is adding another Kula of Ritzit Tzitz in this case, referring to a Karban Yachid. But clearly the Brisa describes the situation of Karbanas Tzibur in terms of Tuma as Hutra. The Kashel of Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes holds that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur, not Hutra B'Tzibur. So from the fact that the Brisa uses this terminology, Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, that's a proof to support Rav Nachman. The truth is that the halacha of the Brisa would be correct even if I hold Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. Even if Tuma is Dechuya B'Tzibur, nevertheless the Torah was mekil in Tuma and allowed for Ritzit Tzitz. And if it's impossible to be makriv the Karban B'Tara, then we'll bring the carbon bituma, and that's a great kula. So the Gemara is standing on the literal translation of this Brisa, where the Brisa uses the term hutra, and that means that tuma is hutra bitzibur. Now, one thing that should bother our minds a little bit is if the Brisa says it's impossible to interpret the Pasuk regarding Tzitz and not in the Siyas Avon in any way other than the Avon of Tuma, so why do I need the reason? Why does the Brisa feel compelled to mention Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur and now justify that Tzitz is Maratza? I mean, the Pasuk itself says that Tzitz is Maratza. We said that there was no other option. We excluded all other options. And by default, the Pasuk must be telling that Tzitz is Maratza in the case of Tuma. So why do I need the principle of, well, since Tuma is Hutra B'Tzibur, therefore Hutra Mechlola, therefore we're going to extend the leniency even to the case of a Karban Yachid? Just simply say straightforward that the Tzitz is Maratza. So this is the Kash of Tosvis, Diva Maskil Ha. And Tosvis answers that at the end of this pasuk it says, V'nasa Aron Es Avona Kodshim. And it says, L'Ratzon Lehem Lifnei Hashem. So from the fact that it says L'Ratzon, we derive the conclusion that this pasuk is talking about psulim, about which we find that they're olim l'ratzon b'makom acher. That's what it means, l'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem. And therefore, in the case of tumah, it didn't have a heter b'makom acher. I mean, if, right? Then we wouldn't be able to say that the tzitzis maratza on the psul tumah, because the Torah seems to indicate that the reason why the tzitzis maratza is because it's maratza b'makom acher. And that means that there's a ritzui without the tzitz, and that's the case of a carbon tzibur. And now the Gemara wants to defend Rav Sheshes from this brisa by saying tanoihi. Then in fact, we have a machlokes tanoim about whether tuma hutra b'tzibur or tuma d'chuya b'tzibur. Rav Sheshes has the right to accept one of the opinions amongst the tanoim, who holds that tuma d'chuya b'tzibur. Disanya, we learned in a brisa, and this brisa is going to try to, the Gemara is going to try to derive from this that the issue of tuma hutra or tuma d'chuya is a machlokes tanoim. And we're going to start now with the shita Rabbi Shimon. He holds tzitz bein sheyeshno al mitzcho bein sheeno al mitzcho merat, which means that if the Kohen Gadol took the tzitz off his head, and let's say he put it down on the table, the tzitz, even if it's not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, Rav Shimon is derived from Sukkim, it still has the power to be meratz. So it's mechaper on a karbon that was brought betuma, and it's ola l'ratzon, even though right this second, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his tzitz. So Rashi has a very interesting pshat here. What exactly happened at the moment that the Kohen Gadol was not wearing his tzitz? Rashi says that was the moment of nitma hakarbon. The critical moment is, when did the carbon contract tuma? And Rav Shimon wants to tell us that the power of the tzitz is so great that even if the Kohen was not wearing the tzitz at the moment, that critical moment of nitma karbon, nevertheless the tzitz is machsha the karbon. That's Rashi's interpretation of the sugi. Rashi d'Ramaskel Bein. So ritzui tzitz depends upon the moment of nitma habosar. So one of the great Rishonim on Masechta Sanhedrin, the Yad Rama, raises the following objection to Rashi. He says, "V'chi ezer ritzu yesh al karban b'shas tuma." How can you talk about the tzitz is maratza to create ritzu karban at the moment that the karban itself contracted tuma? In other words, that which we brought on the Mizbeach Betuma, we need Ritzut Tzitz. So what difference to make whether the Kohen is wearing the Tzitz on his forehead at the time of Nitma HaKarbon? And therefore, the Yad Ramah comes to the exact opposite conclusion, that we need Ritzut Tzitz only at the moment of hakrava, when the carbon is brought, and not at the time that the carbon contracted tuma, b'shas hatuma. The Brisker Rav, in his Ksavim on Nazir, writes that according to Rashi, we need a ritzitzitz not only b'shas hakrava, if the hakrava was betuma, but even b'shas nitma hakarba. We still need ritzitzitz. Now we get to the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shimon in this brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odeu al mitzcho meratze, ein odeu al mitzcho, ein o meratze. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the power of the tzitz to be meratz on a carbon bitum is only if he's wearing it on his forehead. And if he took it off his forehead, then it's not meratz. And Rabbi Shimon says, wait a minute, what are you going to do with the case of Yom HaKippurim? On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. He's got to take off his tzitz, because we don't wear a tzitz in the Kodesh Kadoshim, and yet there's Ritzui Tumah, Amalo Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon turns to Rav Yehuda and he says, Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim yochiach. I'll prove it to you from the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. He's not wearing the tzitz on his metzach. And yet, he goes in to do the avodah in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Eino deyu al mitzcho. And maratza. And nevertheless, right, because again, keep in mind that there are two sets of begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. There was what's called a big day lavan, and then there's the Shmona Begadim. The Shmona Begadim is when he wore the tzitz, but when he went into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he wore big day lavan, right? The white linen garments. I mean, those did not include the tzitz. And when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and the Torah says, "Ksonis bad Kodesh yilbash," who makes them say bad yel basaro. He only wears four begadim, the ksones, the mikhnasayim, the mitznefes, and the avnet. That's called big day lovan. He did not have the tzitz with him when he went into the Kodesh Kodoshim. And yet, even though it's eno deol mitzcho, is maratza. It's the tzitz has a power of generating ritzui on those karbonos, even right at that moment when he's in the Kodesh Kadoshim, even if they contracted tumah. Now, the Gemara doesn't spell out exactly how it knows for sure that the tzitz is maratza on tumah, even when the Kohen Gadol is inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. This Gemara knows this. So Rashi, elsewhere, not here, Rashi says that this is based on what we have a Kabbalah, Biyadenu, that any carbon that's Zmano Kavua overrides Tuma, including the Karbonus of Yom HaKippurim, which is Zmanom Kavua, and then Doche Tuma, if they would be brought Bituma. And the only way we could justify that is because tzitz is meratz aleihem. Because again, Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds tuma dechuya b'tzibra, as we'll see in a minute. So that which we could be makriv b'tuma, in a case of tuma dechuya, could only be based on tzitz meratz. And the tzitz must be meratz, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. And that's what Rashi says in Masechta Pesachim. Omar lo, so Rabbi Yehuda responds, Hanach l'Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim. There's nothing that you could prove from that case. And the reason for that is Shetumo Hutcher lo b'tzibur. Which means that even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, but at this point he's only bringing Karbonos tzibur. And with regard to Karbonos tzibur, we have an absolute heter, Hutcher l'gamre b'tumo. And we don't need Ritzui Tzitz. And this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that only a carbon yachid that contracted Tumah needs Ritzui Tzitz. And then Rabbi Yehuda insists that the Tzitz is only Maratza if Odeno Aleam, meaning that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Tzitz. When he's not wearing the Tzitz, then it's not Maratza. But again, that's only as far as a carbon yachid is concerned. In the case of Karbonos Tzibur, the Ritzu, the carbon, even Bituma, is not based on Ritzu Tzitz. It's simply based on the principle of Hutra Bitzibur. So the Gemara says, Michlal, we see by implication, the Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon, who proved from the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim that Tzitz is Maratza even when it's not on his metzach, even though at that moment they were being makriv only korbanos tzibur, savar tuma duchuyei betzibur. We have to come on to tzitz meratzeh, even with regard to a korban tzibur, because tuma duchuyei betzibur. So we now have a clear-cut machlokas tanon between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, whether tuma duchuyei betzibur or hucha betzibur. And we could always interpret the brisa that says that tuma hucha betzibur we medayik from the brisa. That's Rav Yehuda. Rav Sheshes holds that tuma duchuyei betzibur. He holds like Rav Shimon. And therefore, there's no kasha from that brisa against Rav Shimon, or shall we say against Rav Sheshes? I should be more precise. Because even though the brisa reflects the shita that tuma hucha betzibur, nevertheless, that brisa should be attributed to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds tuma hucha betzibur, but Rav Sheshes himself holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that tuma dechuya betzibur. Let me mention that the Yad Ramah interprets that svarahi, it's logical, that even on Yom HaKippurim, the tzitz would be meratz on karbono sheboim betuma. Because if ain't a tzitz meratz aleim, then there's nothing else that could be meratz aleim. And therefore, nimtza shalotia takona lekarbonos Yom HaKippurim. That's not logical. You know, because the day is Yom HaKippurim, it should be worse. Yigra dover v'lo yeh le'osa karban takana. Now, I wanted to mention Tosis Dibra Maschil Ha, and number one, let's point out that there are many different psulim in karbonos. And it could have been possible that the tzitz would be meratz aleim. But the Gemara Menachos explains that from the drushos, we're not able to say that the tzitz is meratz on any other psul besides tuma. Now, Tosis asks the following question. He says, once the brisa says that you cannot interpret this pasuk in any other way except for the avon of tuma, why do I need, or why does the Braisa feel compelled to mention Tuma Hucha Betzibur? And it says in the Pasuk L'Ratzon, so Tosis says that the Ratzon implies, as we said earlier, that the Pasuk is talking about a case of a psul that is Ola L'Ratzon B'Makom Acher. And that forced the Braisa to introduce the concept of Tuma Hucha Betzibur. Fine. Now, last but not least, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tzitz is not meratza unless it's munach al metzach kohen gadol. And the Beis Halevi says that the tzitz is not meratza unless the Kohen Gadol is wearing all eight begadim. And the Dvar Avram wants to claim that, according to Tosfos, we didn't get to this Tosfos yet, later on in the Masechta, even if the Kohen Gadol is wearing only the tzitz, nevertheless it's meratz. Tosfos in Sanhedrin says that from the fact that tzitz is meratz on all karbonos, that itself would not allow Rabbi Shimon to prove, give him a proof that tzitz is meratza, even if eno munach al metzach hakohen, because the tzitz was always munach al mitzcho shel kohen gadol. Now, the Yushalmi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tzitz would be meratza only if it's munach al metzach kohen gadol, and the kohen gadol would wear the metzach tomit. And according to Rav Shimon, the tzitz is meratza even if it's not al metzcho. And Rav Shimon holds that the Kohen Gadol did not always wear the tzitz.
And Rav Shimon l'shitaso, that the Kohen Gadol did not always wear the tzitz on a daily basis, he could have actually brought a raya from other karbonos, not just Yom HaKippurim. The reason why Rav Shimon mentions his raya from Yom HaKippurim and not from other karbonos is because l'shitas Rav Yehuda, that the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz tamid, there would be no raya from Shara Karbonis. The only raya would be from Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where Rav Yehuda is also moda that the Kohen Gadol would not wear the tzitz on his netzach when he went into the Kodesh Kadosh. So we could prove from that that the tzitz is maratza, even if it's not on his metzach. And that's the proof that Rabbi Shimon quotes here against Rabbi Yehuda. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop here. We're up to Omer Abaye on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, Ben Nishbar, Atzitz, Dukulyama, Lo Pligi. Wishing everyone a Chag Simchas Torah Sameach.